Good morning. I think that's a loaded question. I see three parts in that. How do you see the role of Namibia in the sub-region? And maybe before I start, I want to go back to grade one. When we were in grade one, or the current grade ones, they are told to color inside the box or inside the shape. So that's a mandatory for them to actually qualify to go into grade one. And then when you actually go into high school, they start teaching you to think outside the box. And then when you go to university, they start telling you that there's no box at all. Be innovative. So the challenge we have, when you go to work, you start flowing in that dimension of saying no box at all, and then they will tell you you've got rules and regulations. You can't go that far. So how do you navigate through that conundrum in terms of as from an individual and as a nation? So coming to the part of Namibia, I will connect that at the end, connecting the dots from that statement of coloring inside the box up to the end when we conclude. So Namibia is ranked as one of the most stable countries politically in the world as well. And the Namibia government is also looking at stimulating growth through employment and through economic growth and attracting investors and also retaining them. The advantage that Namibia has, as alluded by the chair, is that we are at a point where we have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to jumpstart Namibia's industrialization through the green hydrogen projects that Namibia is now undertaking with support of EU. But one aspect that Namibia could play a key role in the context of Namibia is as a gateway for landlocked SADC countries. As you know, we border in terms of the Atlantic Ocean, and we've got the ports of the Lideritz and Walvis Bay as well. So all the countries that are landlocked, ranging from Botswana, Zambia, Congo, Malawi, and Zimbabwe, most of their goods, if it's copper, it all passes through the gateway in terms of the ports of Lideritz, the ports of Walvis Bay. So Namibia has a role to play within that. Then in terms of value addition, already we have samples. If we look at the base metals in the context of Namibia, which was speaking to regional integration, or partly within SACU, the Scorpion Zinc, which is a Vendana mine, was producing ore to metal in terms of zinc, 99.9949. So the power for Scorpion Zinc was coming from Eskom South Africa, and they got very good competitive rates in terms of tariffs, which were below sort of the market rate. And then the client for Scorpion Zinc was a company in South Africa called Monoworld Galvanizers. And Monoworld kind of galvanizers does in terms of protection of steel through galvanizing using zinc. So in that regard, you see that created opportunities within the context of Namibia. 1,600 people were employed within the Scorpion Zinc. And if we are to talk in terms of indirect and induced procurement, induced employment, it could get to a factor multiplied by 7 in terms of the impact for that. So we, having that in mind, if you could also look at the supply chain, so the procurement of the oil and lubricants and fuel were also from within the region itself. Coming to the aspects of regional, that is the role that Namibia could actually play, from providing a gateway in terms of logistics and also in terms of mineral beneficiation. Then in terms of integration of regional value chains, Namibia is 3.1 million people. So it is the second least densely populated nation in the world after Mongolia. So if we are to talk of just looking at internal aspects only, it means our market will be limited. But if we go to SADC, we've got 363 million people. If we go to Africa, then we've got 1.5 billion, and by 2030, we'll be having 2.5 billion people. So SADC has come up with a roadmap in terms of industrial relations strategy and roadmap, which sticks to 6 priority value chains. And out of the 6, 4 of them actually speak to mineral-related beneficiation. There's agro-processing, there's mineral beneficiation, there's pharmaceutical, consumer goods, capital goods, and services. And then each, the SADC member states have identified specific sectors and countries that can actually portray, can potentially participate in each value chain and be the hub or the sender in that, in the, in one of these six value chains. So there's also the SADC value chains unit, which is actually administering in terms of, okay, which is actually in terms of monitoring and this industrial roadmap. And then the key regional frameworks that speaks to that is the SADC protocol on mining, which is of 2000 and it's outdated and in the process of being, or it's being reviewed now. And then there's the regional mining vision and action plan 2019, and SADC became the first country to have a region, I mean the first regional body to actually have that. And then we have SADC vision 2050, and also the roadmap that I spoke about from 2015 to 2063. I will pause there, thank you.